Hello and welcome to your daily AI in-depth report for the 23rd of August 2026. I'm Alex, and today we're looking beyond individual model launches to examine a broader transformation. AI is becoming an industrial system. Ingo is with me to explore what that means for technology, economics, geopolitics, and society. Ingo, the headline from this week's material seems to be that the AI bottleneck is no longer simply GPUs.
That is the strongest signal. The industry began with a race to acquire accelerators, especially high-end GPUs. But once those accelerators are deployed at scale, other constraints become decisive. High bandwidth memory, advanced packaging, networking, electricity, cooling, land, financing, and software integration. In other words, a company may have access to powerful chips and still be unable to deliver useful AI capacity because the rest of the system is missing or too expensive.
Exactly. It is useful to think of an AI data center as a coordinated machine rather than a room full of servers. The accelerators perform the calculations, but memory must feed them quickly, networking must connect them, packaging must bring the components together, and power and cooling must keep them operating continuously. If any one of those elements falls short, the practical performance of the whole cluster suffers.
And this changes where economic power sits. Model developers and application companies have attracted most of the attention, but the firms controlling the supporting infrastructure may gain enormous leverage. Memory manufacturers, packaging companies, networking suppliers, utilities, data center developers, and financiers can all become strategic gatekeepers. This resembles earlier industrial buildouts, where the most valuable position was not always held by the company making the final product, but by whoever controlled a scarce input.
The memory story is particularly important. Industry forecasts point to an AI-led upcycle in DRAM, NAND and High Bandwidth Memory, or HBM. Some forecasts suggest that major memory manufacturers could see very large revenue increases in 2026, with supply conditions easing only in 2027. We should treat those figures as forecasts rather than established facts, but several developments support the general direction.
Samsung's advanced manufacturing capacity is reportedly booked far into the future, with some customers potentially being directed toward older process technology because leading-edge capacity is constrained. SK Hynix is reportedly creating a Silicon Valley design team to work more closely with American chip designers on HBM4. That is significant because memory is becoming co-designed with the accelerator, rather than being a standard interchangeable component purchased after the main chip has been designed.
And Samsung's reported plan for a 6 trillion Korean won HBM and advanced packaging facility in Onyang reinforces that point. Advanced packaging used to sound like a relatively obscure back-end manufacturing function. Today it is central to AI performance because high-bandwidth memory has to be placed very close to compute dies, with extremely fast connections and tight thermal tolerances. JCET's reported profit growth is another sign that packaging providers are capturing more of the value created by AI infrastructure.
For businesses planning AI capacity, this means that counting GPUs is an inadequate planning method. They need to ask, how much memory capacity and bandwidth do we have? How efficiently can data move between components? Can the system sustain inference workloads rather than just run a benchmark? And can the site obtain enough electricity and cooling? The cost of AI may increasingly be determined by moving data through memory and networks, not simply by performing mathematical operations on a chip.
That is where technologies such as CXL, or Compute Express Link, enter the discussion. CXL is designed to allow processes and memory resources to communicate more flexibly. In principle, it can support memory pooling and disaggregation, so that memory does not have to be permanently tied to one processor or server. This could improve utilization in large, mixed workloads. But it is an architectural response, not a magic solution. It has to be supported by hardware, software, and operating practices.
Power is another increasingly strategic constraint. Reports about 800-volt direct current architectures reflect the fact that AI racks are becoming much more power-intensive. Higher voltage distribution can reduce electrical losses and the amount of copper required, but it also demands new equipment and safety practices. The issue is not only the electricity bill. In many places, the bigger problem is the time required to obtain a grid connection, upgrade substations, or secure enough generation.
Cooling follows directly from that. More electrical power becomes heat, and conventional cooling systems become less efficient as rack densities rise. Ellis's proposal for a South Korean AI data center using warm water cooling above 40 degrees Celsius illustrates the direction of travel. If it is built and operates as planned, warm water cooling could reduce the energy required to chill the system and make some sites more viable. But it remains a planned project, so we should not confuse an announcement with demonstrated performance.
The same caution applies to NVIDIA's announcement that it has secured land, power and shell capacity at an Ohio technology campus operated by SB Energy. The strategic point is nevertheless clear. A leading chip company is trying to reserve the physical preconditions for future deployment. That is a move from selling components toward coordinating infrastructure. Land, power and buildings are becoming part of the competitive battlefield.
Financing is evolving as well. Broadcom is reportedly discussing tens of billions of dollars, potentially up to $100 billion, in debt financing to expand its AI chip position. Those discussions are not a completed transaction, but their scale is revealing. The AI build-out is becoming capital-intensive enough to draw on financing techniques more familiar from telecommunications, energy and other infrastructure industries.
The reported Marvell and Google arrangement is another example. If Google reaches its purchase commitments, the arrangement could generate roughly $120 billion through fiscal 2033. A structure involving equity linked to orders would give a supplier long-term demand visibility while allowing a hyperscaler to secure custom silicon without carrying all upstream risk. We should wait for contractual details, but the underlying logic is understandable. Suppliers want financing certainty, and hyperscalers want alternatives to buying every capability from a single dominant provider.
This brings us to a second major theme. AI capability is becoming a systems property, not merely a model property. The model still matters, but performance increasingly depends on the surrounding harness. That includes task decomposition, tool use, context management, retries, verification, environment setup and routing between models.
The reported terminal bench experiment is a good illustration. According to the coverage, changing the agent harness while keeping the underlying model fixed moved a coding agent from around 30th place to leading performance. It is a secondary account and not proof that harness design always produces such a dramatic result. But it demonstrates an important commercial lesson. Public model leaderboards are not reliable substitutes for testing the complete application.
A harness is essentially the operating environment around the model. It can decide when the model should call a tool, how a failed action should be retried, whether generated code is executed in a safe environment, and how the result is checked. A less famous model with excellent tools and verification can outperform a nominally stronger model on a specific workflow. This is particularly important for enterprises, because their goal is not to win a general benchmark, it is to complete a business process reliably and affordably.
That helps explain the reported strategic interest in OpenRouter by Stripe, at a possible valuation above $7 billion. The talks have not been confirmed as a completed acquisition, but the logic is notable. A routing layer can select among models based on price, latency, capability, reliability, jurisdiction and data handling rules. As the number of credible models grows, deciding which model handles which request becomes a valuable control point.
Routing also reduces dependence on any single model provider. A simple request might go to a small, inexpensive model. A difficult reasoning task could be sent to a frontier model. A privacy-sensitive workload might remain on a local model. The challenge is that routing requires evaluation, monitoring, and stable interfaces. It is not just a switch that automatically picks the best answer. Organizations need to know when a model is safe to substitute and when a change might alter accuracy, tone, latency, or compliance behavior.
NVIDIA's preview of TensorRT Model Connect fits into the same infrastructure layer competition. The project is intended to simplify conversion of supported Hugging Face or local checkpoints into TensorRT inference deployments. If it works well, it makes it easier for users to run open models efficiently on NVIDIA hardware. That strengthens NVIDIA's runtime ecosystem even when the underlying model is not proprietary.
And open models are raising the performance floor. 8.27b, released under an Apache license, is said to have achieved a strong result on the Artificial Analysis Intelligence Index, comparable in some areas to much larger models. One benchmark does not establish broad equivalence. Practitioner assessments also suggest that it can overthink, which may create unnecessary latency and cost. Nevertheless, a capable 27 billion parameter model with vision features can be operated on far more modest infrastructure than the largest frontier systems.
This matters economically because it lowers the cost of entry. Smaller organizations, public institutions, and companies in countries that cannot obtain unlimited frontier capacity may still deploy useful AI locally. It also changes bargaining power. If the performance gap between open and proprietary models narrows for a particular task, customers have a credible alternative. Frontier models will remain important for the hardest workloads, but the market becomes more fragmented and competitive.
There are also signs that AI is beginning to optimize the AI production stack itself. CUDA Agent, associated with ByteDance Seed and Qinghuo Air, is reported to use agentic reinforcement learning to generate GPU kernels that can outperform a compiler in some situations. That claim needs careful testing across workloads, hardware, and reproducible benchmarks. Compiler beating results are often highly dependent on the specific operation being optimized.
But if the result is robust, it could be economically important. Bespoke kernels can improve throughput and reduce inference cost. Today, that work depends on a relatively scarce pool of specialists who understand both the hardware and the software. AI-assisted search could automate part of that optimization process, though human validation would remain essential. This is a useful example of AI attacking a bottleneck in its own supply chain.
The third major theme is regionalization. AI is not developing as one globally integrated market with identical access everywhere. South Korea is central to HBM, packaging, and foundry capacity. Reports of discussions between President Lee Jae-myung and SK Group Chairman Choi Tae-won, amid pressure for semiconductor investment in the United States, show how corporate supply chain decisions are becoming geopolitical negotiations.
China is pursuing both AI capability and supply chain autonomy. Alibaba is reported to be guiding its AI cloud business toward a $10 billion annualized run rate while pursuing a three-year, 380 billion renminbi compute build-out. These are company signals rather than achieved outcomes, but they indicate continued willingness to invest at hyperscale. YMTC's parent is also advancing an IPO process as the company expands enterprise storage and NAND production. Storage is sometimes overlooked in AI discussions, yet data movement and storage capacity are essential to training, retrieval, and inference.
Embodied AI, including humanoid robotics, is another area where regional industrial structures matter. Reporting suggests Chinese policy support is shifting toward humanoid robotics and encouraging automakers to redeploy manufacturing and supply chain capabilities. The important question is not whether general-purpose humanoids are commercially mature today. They are not. The strategic question is whether a country with large-scale manufacturing, motors, batteries, sensors, and contract production can lower the cost of experimentation and eventually mass production.
That creates a different competitive model. The advantage may not come from one superior robot foundation model. It may come from the ability to manufacture thousands or millions of reasonably capable machines, gather data from them, and improve the hardware iteratively. Longcheer and Luxshare's reported movement into robot original design manufacturing is an early sign of that possibility, not evidence that scaled production has already arrived.
The consequence for Western companies is a more segmented operating environment. Sovereignty will increasingly involve where compute is located, where chips and memory are sourced, where enterprise data is processed, which robotics components are available, and who finances the infrastructure. It will not be enough to ask where a model was trained. Organizations will need to map the full chain.
The fourth theme is trust and security. OpenAI's announcements about zero data retention for eligible API customers and a preview of private safety processing show providers turning privacy into a product feature. The commitments are useful, but customers must examine eligibility, logging, technical architecture, and contractual terms. A promise about retention is not the same as a complete understanding of how data moves through a system.
OpenAI also described stronger monitoring, alignment, and security measures for models with cyber-critical capabilities. It proposed democratic oversight for national security uses. These are important signals, although they describe intended safeguards rather than independently verified effectiveness or a new regulatory regime. As models become more capable in cyber operations and intelligence-related tasks, providers will face pressure to show not only what their systems can do, but how access is controlled and audited.
At the same time, commercial incentives are becoming more complicated. ChatGPT advertising is reportedly expanding across 31 European markets. That raises questions about data boundaries, ranking incentives, and disclosure. If a conversational system is used to research products, compare services, or make decisions, users need to know whether commercial relationships can influence what they see.
There is a related issue around political behavior. A reported study found that some United States AI models were more reluctant to criticize authoritarian leaders than democratic ones. That is a specific study result, not a universal conclusion about every model. But it reminds us that model behavior is shaped by training data, policy choices, safety systems, and evaluation methods. Enterprises should test for political, cultural, and reputational risks in the contexts where their systems will actually be used.
So what should technology leaders do now? First, plan AI capacity as a systems portfolio. Secure accelerators, but also model memory, networking, power, cooling, and suitable sites. Build scenarios for continued HBM scarcity, higher electricity costs, and longer grid connection times through 2027. A GPU purchase without a power plan is not an AI strategy.
Second, measure end-to-end agent performance. Test the model inside the actual harness, with real tools, permissions, retries, and verification loops. Compare completion rates, error severity, latency, and cost. Procurement based only on public leaderboards is increasingly difficult to defend because leaderboard performance may not predict performance in a controlled enterprise workflow.
Third, preserve model optionality. Use common interfaces and routing where appropriate, and maintain evaluation suites that allow models to be substituted safely. But do not assume portability is free. Hardware-specific optimization, such as TensorRT, can deliver valuable performance while creating dependence on a particular ecosystem. Leaders need to decide consciously where optimization is worth that trade-off.
Fourth, make sovereignty and trust architectural requirements from the beginning. Establish rules for data retention, regional hosting, model monitoring, advertising exposure, and supply chain risk before deployment. This is especially important for regulated industries, public sector organizations, and security-sensitive workloads. Retrofitting those controls later can be expensive and technically difficult.
The broader social implication is that AI's future will be shaped by infrastructure as much as by algorithms. Access will depend on who can afford electricity, secure memory, obtain capital, operate data centers, and build reliable systems. That may widen the gap between organizations with strong infrastructure positions and those that merely have access to an API.
But the rise of smaller open models and better system engineering also creates countervailing forces. More capability can run locally. Organizations can choose among more providers. A well-designed workflow can sometimes outperform a larger but poorly integrated system. The market is not moving in only one direction toward concentration. It is simultaneously developing new forms of dependence and new forms of optionality.
Geopolitically, expect AI supply chains to become more contested. Governments will treat memory, packaging, networking, data centers, and robotics as strategic assets. Commercial investment decisions may be negotiated alongside national security and industrial policy priorities. Companies will have to manage not only price and performance, but export controls, regional rules, resilience, and political alignment.
And for everyday users, the practical experience may be shaped less by a dramatic new model announcement than by the invisible system around the model. Faster responses because routing improves, cheaper services because smaller models handle routine work, more local processing because privacy requirements tighten, and more uneven availability because infrastructure is distributed unevenly.
To sum up, the week's material does not show a decisive discontinuity in model intelligence. It shows something arguably more consequential for the economy, the acceleration of AI's industrialization. Capability increasingly depends on who can finance, power, cool, memory feed, package, optimize, and govern large-scale systems.
That is our central takeaway. Thank you for listening to your daily AI in-depth report for the 23rd of August 2026. I'm Alex.
And I'm Ingo. We'll be back with another analysis of how AI is changing technology, business, society, and geopolitics.